All right, we're starting a new series today called The Process Do. Two. Whatever, okay. That wasn't funny. The sequel. All right, how many of you were here 3 years ago when we did the first series, The Process? All right, several of you, okay. 3 years ago, actually 3 years ago, almost identically to the day, we started The Process series part one. And we didn't realize at the time we were going to do a part two, but this year when we were planning the year out, we started talking about it, and I thought, you know what, we need to talk more about the process. So we're going to do part two, or the sequel, or whatever you want to call it. And so I want you to turn to two scriptures today. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to read that pretty quick here in just a moment. So we'll get to 1 Kings in just a few minutes, okay? Those are the two scriptures I really want you to look at today. I'll read more than that today, but I want to get to that. So I want to first start off by laying the groundwork for this. It seems that, like, the best way to reach a desired result would be to focus on the result. Try to move toward it, you know, and judge each attempt by how closely you approximate it. But actually, that approach is far from optimal. If you focus on your attention and effort less on the results and more, and less on what you're hoping for, and more on the processes and the techniques that you use, you'll learn faster, you'll become more successful, and you'll be happier with the outcome. It's important for us to understand that. By default, we tend to be forward-looking, goal-pursuing, results-focused, right? I mean, we were born that way. By default, we are, let me say it again, we're forward-looking, we're goal-pursuing, we're results-focused. Why? Why is that the way we're built? Why is that the way we're designed? Why do we tend to lean that in that direction? Well, one, because we're wired for discontentment with the present and striving for a better future. Okay, two is because results are easier to measure and evaluate than processes. Right? And three, because we know others will judge us based on the results and we tend to care too much about what others think. Did you hear that? So that makes us, that drives us, it pushes us to be results focused and results and outcome oriented. We're constantly looking at the result. We're constantly staying focused on the results, on the goal, on the outcome. And by doing that, we're actually crippling ourselves. We don't understand that by focusing on the goal, focusing on the outcome, it becomes more difficult for us to achieve the result. As we begin this series today, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. The reward is in the process, not the result. It's true. I'm going to show it to you today. I'm going to show you today and through the next couple of weeks throughout the scripture where we can see the reward is in the process, not the result. 1 Peter, the first scripture I wanted to look at today is in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine." Let me read that again. I want you to say it with me. Say it with me. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. What shows that your faith is genuine? The trials. Say it again. What shows it?
Trials.
Look at somebody next to you. Say, "The trials show." The trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's all about that your faith comes out in the trials. Your faith comes to the surface in the trials. Your faith exposes, or is exposed, I should say, through the trials. Whatever your level of faith is, it's going to come out in the trials. Amen? Your faith doesn't come out when everything's going well and everything's rosy. Does it? Your faith comes out in the trials. Your level of faith will sure come to the top when you're going through a trial. But when everything's going your way, that's not the time to measure your faith. Come on. It says this, it goes on to say, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You know what this is just saying? It's saying when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you to the goal. It will bring you to the prize. Come on, y'all. The prize is when we stand before Jesus. Actually, nobody's going to be standing when they first see Jesus, right? When we're on our face before Jesus, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you are longing to hear that, those words from him? Isn't that our goal? That's the goal. But that goal is achieved through the processes that we take here on this earth. Amen. Amen. I don't misunderstand. I understand salvation is a free gift. It is a free gift, but we still have to take the process of making the step to receive this free gift. Amen. It was a process to go through salvation for me. How about you? It was a process. Remember a few weeks ago when I had the cross up here in the altar of the cross? It was a process to cross over into the kingdom of God. Even though it was a free gift and I didn't have to work for it, I'm not saying I had to work, but I had to make a decision to surrender all on the altar of the cross and to step into the new life. And then once I was on this side of the cross, I had to make a decision to walk with Christ. The process of walking with Jesus can be difficult at times, can be troublesome at times. Not that Jesus brings us troubles, it's just that where he leads us, we're going to go through many trials. Amen. Amen. Nobody wants to shout at that part. You know what I'm saying? We're going to. The Bible tells us over and over again. I mean, I'm going to read more scriptures like this where we'll see that we go through difficulties and trials. And I can say it to you this way. The Word of God promises it to us. He promises us trials. Hallelujah. You're going to be shouting by the end of this message today. You're going to be thankful for the trials. If you're not already. It says this, it goes on to say, you love him even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So let me just say this. Process, the definition of process is this. A series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. That's what the process is. A series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. So again, when we are pre-cross, we had to take a series of steps and actions to be post-cross. Right? Yes, you did. It just doesn't happen. You have to. Everybody here that's saved, you had to go through a process of salvation. That's surrendering your life to God, saying, I trust you with everything. You are my creator. I give it all to you. I lay it at your feet. Save me. Wash me clean. Forgive every sin that I've ever committed. Bury my past. I am crucified with Christ. Come on, think about the process. And it's I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's a process, and then I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to follow him on this journey, this process. Everything we do in life involves process, right? It was a process to move over here to McMoran. It was a process that we go through to start this service this morning, to go through this service. There are processes that we go through. It's a process when you go to work every day, amen? Some of you hate the process. But I'm praying that after this series this month that you will love the process. Many people are in love with the results but hate the process. But the reward is in the process, not the result. Why are we in love with something that comes after the reward? I know it sounds backwards, but let me show you a couple things. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 5, it says this, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, and for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him. Remember that. Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. First of all, let me show you this. The word Kereth, the brook, Kereth Brook, the word Kereth means cut off. Means cut off. And it also means to enwrap or surround. So Elijah went to a secret place. He was cut off. He went to a secret place, and the Lord took care of Elijah. He led him to a place where his presence would enwrap him and surround him. Part of the process, when we're going through the process, we have to understand we need to go where the Lord tells us to go. For he will lead us to a place where we're cut off from everything else, and he will enwrap us and surround us with his presence. Too many of us are going where we want to go, where our feelings tell us to go, where our emotions tell us to go, instead of going to where the Lord tells us to go. When we're going through the processes, we want to go to our friends and tell them all about the process I'm going to. We call it just talking to them, but it's really complaining about the process. Instead of going where the Lord is telling us to go, more often than not, the Lord will lead you to a place that is cut off from everyone else so that he can enwrap you and surround you with his word and nourish you from above. And if you're not going where the Lord tells you to go, you're going to go to these places that your emotions drive you to go to. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen in this place today? You know what I'm saying? You go to these places to your friends and you just, how many of you, you know this, you don't feel any better when you leave complaining from to your friends about the process. I mean, a lot of times you feel worse. Right? I know I do. And instead, if we'll just go where the Lord tells us to go, he's got a place for us that will be cut off from all the noise, cut off from all the busyness. And in that place where we're cut off from everything else, he'll enwrap us and surround us with his arms of love, with his encouragement, with his word. He'll nourish us, if you will, from the ravens above. He wants to pour into us. And so Elijah, remember what the word said, Elijah did as the Lord told him to do. And God took care of him, and then the brook dried up because there was no rain. And so we see in 1 Kings 17, verse 8 through 10, we see, then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath. Okay, so the Lord instructed him to go to the Kereth Brook. So he did as the Lord instructed him and went to the brook. When the brook dried up, when there was no more water and the ravens weren't bringing food any longer, and he's in the middle of the process, the Lord says, "Now get up and go to Zarephath." And what's the word of God say? Elijah got up and went. He's listening to the voice of the Lord. In the middle of the process, he's going everywhere the Lord tells him to go. Now look what happened in Zarephath. See, Zarephath, this is a Phoenician village, Zarephath, and it belonged to Sidon because it was located in the northern extremity of Canaan. The name Zarephath comes from the verb serap, which means smelt or refine. So the Lord sent Elijah to the place of smelting and refining. I hope you catch this from the Word of God. There's so much more to the Word of God than just reading the surface of it. It's so much deeper than we understand. He sent Elijah after he was at the Kereth Brook. See, I think in that cutoff place, it was actually a good place for Elijah. I think when he was cut off from everybody else, it was a good place. I mean, think about it. The Kereth Brook was this fresh spring of water, and it was bringing fresh water to him every day. And the ravens brought him food to eat. You know, if God sent food by the ravens, it had to be the best stuff. You know what I mean? He wasn't sending him junk food. It was probably bone-in ribeye steak, baked potato, just was slathered in butter and cheese and bacon bits and sour cream. And big, big honking loaf of fresh, crusty bread. Do I need to go on? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, Elijah's sitting there just living it up at the Kereth Brook. But how many of you know when we go through the processes, the Bible says we're going to go through many trials, and all of a sudden the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing food. And many of us at that point in our lives, listen to me, many of us panic. Oh, Jesus, I feel him so much right now. Many of us say this. Many of us say, what did I do wrong to cause this to happen? Where did I go wrong? Maybe I shouldn't have come to the Kereth Brook. I thought I heard the Lord tell me to come here, but maybe I shouldn't be here, Ethan. Maybe this is the wrong place. And we start to question the direction of the Lord and the hand of God in our lives. And don't you know that's the enemy trying to get us to get out of the will of God, off of the path of God? Imagine if Elijah had said, man, I made the wrong decision. The brook has dried up and the ravens aren't bringing food anymore. I got to go do something else. But instead, he listened to the Lord. And the Lord said, go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath was known, in that time, was known as that type of a city. It was the smelting pot. It was the refining place. So think about this. Elijah goes to Zarephath, and it was during this time at Zarephath, during this time in the smelting pot, that the Lord refined Elijah. It was during this process that the Lord prepared Elijah for the result that would come in the third year of the drought when he stood on the mountaintop and defeated the prophets of Baal. It was during the time in the smelting pot. The refining, the process. It was during the time of the process that the Lord prepared Elijah to stand and face the 450 prophets of Baal. And the Lord defeated the prophets of Baal through Elijah because he had submitted himself to the process. So we have to understand that God is calling us to embrace the process, to submit to the process. The title of the message today is "The Process is Good for You." It's good for you. It's good for me. We have to go through this. And if we embrace it, we're going to see great things happen in our lives. For Elijah, the reward was in the process. Do you think for a moment, I wonder when we get to heaven, if we get to talk to people, you know, I'm sure we will, but I mean, do we get to see everybody? There's a lot of people I want to see, right? I mean, obviously Jesus first, you know what I mean? But I want to see people and I want to talk to them. I mean, how many of you want to talk to Paul? How many of you would like to just talk to Paul for a moment, you know? And just ask him about his experience. I mean, I hope we get to go to all these people's houses for dinner and stuff, you know, and sit down and have dinner, bone-in ribeye. Just, if I say that one more time, it's getting close to noon. People are going to get up and leave. Texas Roadhouse is going to be packed. But I wonder if we're talking to Elijah and we say, Elijah, would you trade, would you give up those years in the smelting pot if the Lord could make it easier for you? How many of you know he won't say yes? He would. How many of you know he's going to say no? That was the reward. Yes. It's where God trained me, taught me, took me under his wing. Life is lived in the present, not the future. Do you hear me? Life is lived in the present, right here, right now, with what we're going through today. This is where life is lived, in the present, not the future. If you focus on the process and focusing on that, you will engage more deeply in the present and experience it more fully. This will help you learn faster and experience life more completely. You have to embrace the process, but you're not going to embrace the process of life unless you understand that it's good for you. Quit questioning the trials of life. If you know that you are where the Lord told you to be, come on, River Church, if you know you're where the Lord told you to be, quit questioning the process and the trials that you may be going through. Quit allowing the enemy to bring doubt and fear to your mind, telling you you made a mistake. You know the reason he brings that to our mind and tells us we made a mistake? He doesn't want us to think we made a mistake. He wants us to think we are a mistake. But he can't get us to think we are a mistake until he starts making us think we keep making mistakes. Right? All of a sudden, you're walking along, and man, I just can't do anything right. You start talking to yourself, self-talk. Come on, there's somebody in this place that needs to hear that. Somebody in this place, you keep telling yourself that. You keep speaking those curses over yourself that I can't do anything right. I'm just a failure. That is a lie from the enemy. You are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You are who God created you to be. And instead of speaking that lie over your life, why don't you start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why don't you speak the truth of God's word? So we need to understand this. The fight is in, the reward is in the fight. The reward is in the process. I want to read something to you. It's by a man by the name of James Clear. He wrote this. And it's entitled, The Fight is the Reward. So it's just a short little story real quick. I want to read it to you. Listen to this. It says, it was my senior year. He says, it was my senior year. And I was pitching against the number 3 team in the country, the College of Worcester. The first batter of the game was making my life difficult. He fouled off a pitch, then another, and another. I threw a ball outside, hoping he would bite on it. He didn't. Ball 1. I tried again. Ball 2. Then another foul ball. In what seemed like 10 minutes, we battled back and forth to a full count. When I think about what I miss most about playing baseball, I think about this moment. I think about the struggle back and forth. I think about the chance to compete against someone else. I think about the mental clarity and the rare feeling of being in the moment. Not just living through it, but actually living in it. There were thousands of moments like this one during my baseball career. Many times I lost the struggle, but this time I won. The batter struck out on the next pitch, a fastball, low and away. A few hours later, we had pulled off the win, and I had finished one of the best performances of my career. But it wasn't the win that made it worthwhile. It was the moment of struggle. Gradually, I began to see that these moments are all around us. The problem is, the world tells us that we should be focused on the results. Society seems to be so obsessed with appearing to be a success that it has become dangerously easy to let moments of struggle slip by without appreciation. The world says that we should focus on hitting our sales targets or losing the extra weight or on building a successful business or on accomplishing XYZ result so that we can be praised for the achievement. But the reward, the real reward is found in the moments that come along the way to those results. It's not the results themselves that make anything worthwhile. It's the fight that comes before them that gives our experiences meaning. I remember striking that batter out because of the struggle that it took to get there. It's the process that makes the product worth remembering. Wow. Come on, that's such a good story. It's the process that makes the product worth remembering. We don't remember the results and the rewards because of the rewards. We remember them because of the struggle it took to get there. I'm telling you right now, when I look around this building and I thank God for where we're at, but I see so much coming in the future, but I'm not going to live in the future. I'm going to live right here and right now and thank Him and live in the moment of the process. But when I thank Him for this, for us being in a larger place that we can grow into, when I thank Him for this, I'm not thinking about where we're at right now. I'm not thinking about this place. I'm thinking about the struggle it took to get here. Have you ever said this to somebody? If you only knew my story. If you only knew what it took to get here. It's because I'm embracing the process. I'm thanking Him for the struggles. If there's one thing I've learned in my journey with Jesus, it's to embrace the process. It's to learn and get everything I can out of this process for a number of reasons. One, because I know that you're really living life if we embrace the process. But number two, I don't want to go through this process again. Hello? There's some things I'm going through right now I don't want to go through again. But if I don't learn through this process, I'm going to have to make another trip around the block. And I don't want to make another trip around this block. Come on, I'm about to get fired up today. What is the real reward in our lives? What is real? What is that reward? For the author, the reward is not having a best-selling book. The reward is the act of writing. The reward is every moment that you battle to string together words and craft a story that takes on a life of its own. For the athlete, the reward is not winning a championship. The reward is the opportunity to compete and fight for something that you care about. The reward is every moment that you step between the lines and test your physical abilities. For the entrepreneur, the reward is not owning a $1 million business. It's not. The reward is building something of value where nothing existed previously. The reward is every moment that you choose to bet on yourself rather than playing it safe. I just got to stop for a second. Because so many people believe if I just become a millionaire, everything will be good. I'll be happy. If I can just reach that reward, I'll be happy. I'm telling you, that's not what brings happiness. Jesus brings happiness, and he does it through the process. Amen. There are a lot of millionaires out there that built these big businesses, but they haven't embraced the process, and they haven't allowed Jesus to take them on this process. And so when they get to that reward, they're just as empty as they were when they started. That's why these millionaires and billionaires can be so empty of life. You hear about it all the time, day in and day out. You hear about these celebrities who've gained this fame and fortune, but they end up taking their lives because they think their lives are worthless. Why? Because they were just looking for the rewards instead of embracing the process to get there. For the artist, the reward is not showing your work in a top gallery or hearing the praise of critics. The reward is the act of creating something new. The reward is every moment that you struggle to overcome procrastination and resistance and fight to express your vision. That's the reward. Michelangelo said this. He said, if people knew how hard I worked to gain my mastery, it wouldn't seem so wonderful. Think about that. Isn't that true? If people knew how hard I worked to get here, it wouldn't seem so wonderful. I think about this in the ministry because I think about young pastors and young, leaders coming up, and they look at this, what I'm doing right here today, with like it's glamorous, like it's the reward. If I could just get to where Bill is today, if I could just stand up there in front of this crowd of people and preach the word of God, that looks so glamorous. It looks so rewarding. It's a reward, and this is wonderful, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I hate this. I love my job. It's awesome. But if you knew what it took for me to get here, this wouldn't seem so glamorous to you. If I sat down with you for a moment and told you what I had to go through to get to this place, there's a lot of you who'd go, no, thank you. Nope, you can have it. Because there's a process that we have to go through to get to the reward. But the reward is not... The reward is in the process. Is this making sense to you today? Think about this. Even Jesus had to go through the process. Yes, you should agree with that. Yes, he did. Think about it. Jesus had to go through the process. He could have just come here as an adult. He's God. He could, right? If he wanted to, he could. I know some of you are saying no, because let me get there. Just let me preach this sermon, all right? He could have just, let's just say he said, I'm going to skip all of that, and I'm just going to show up as an adult. He could have done what the Pharisees were looking for him to do. They were looking for the Messiah to come riding in on a white horse, the Savior, the conqueror, as a warrior, right? Oh, when he's going to do that, that's just in the second coming. But the first coming, he could have done that, and that's what they were looking for. He could have skipped the entire process, but see, Jesus knew that he had to go through the process. He had to come as a baby. Do you think it was fun for Jesus to come as a baby? Think about it. He was God. He knew exactly what was going on. Hello? We don't remember being babies and going through the process of being born. But can you imagine actually knowing what you know now and having the conscience that you have now and the understanding that you have now and going through that process? Thank you. I thought it was just me. I mean, that would be really weird. Jesus went through the process. He had to come as a baby. He had to go through the entire process of being raised by human beings, by being raised by those he created. That's funny. If you just think about that, that's funny. Come on. He submitted himself to the process. He humbled himself and went through the process. Are you hearing me? Now think about this. Jesus had to go through the process because Jesus had to fulfill the prophecy. If he didn't go through the process, he wouldn't fulfill the prophecy. He had to go through the process to fulfill the prophecy that was written about him. Otherwise, he would not have been the Messiah. Are y'all with me? The Word of God says that he fulfilled every one of the prophecies. Every prophecy that was ever written about the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled while he was here on earth. There's a few future ones that he's about to fulfill when he returns to this earth, when he comes in the rapture, when he comes to take the saints home with him, and then when he comes in the second coming and we come with him riding on horses, fighting behind him while he's on a white horse, wearing a robe that was dipped in blood. And it's written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to fulfill a few more, but see, Jesus had to go through the process to fulfill the prophecy. And so what makes us think that we don't have to go through the process if Jesus had to go through the process? Jesus went through trials. What makes us think that we can skip trials? In order for the calling, in order for the prophecy about Jesus, in order for him to fulfill what he was called to do, he had to go through trials to get there. It's not just the torture that he took and the beating that he took and the crown of thorns placed on his head and being beaten beyond recognition and crucified on a cross. It's not just that trial that he went through. Think about all the other trials that Jesus went through. Think, you know, Jesus, it had to be a trial for him when he turns around to the disciples and the people that are around him, and he says to them, how much longer am I going to have to put up with you? You ever felt that way at work or something like that? You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Just me? Maybe your family? Christmas, Thanksgiving? I'm just kidding. How much longer am I going to have to stay here? That's what he was saying to him. How much longer am I going to have to put up with this? He was going through trials. It had to be a trial. It had to be difficult, some of the things that Jesus went through. The persecution that he faced, constantly being attacked by the Pharisees, constantly having to defend. The Bible says that he was constantly on the run. Think about this. Jesus couldn't even, he couldn't even stay in his own village that he grew up in. They tried to throw him off a cliff. He had to run from the very village that he grew up in because they were trying to kill him because he was fulfilling the calling that God placed on his life. Some of you are going through the process and it's difficult right now. You're going through some trials and you don't understand, why am I here? Why am I in this place? And you keep questioning God. Why am I here? God, just deliver me from this. Just get me out of this. Just hurry up, God. Snap your fingers and poof, I'm out of here. Presto change-o. And God is trying to get your attention and say, I don't want to remove this from you at this moment because you need this process. You need this. It's good for you. You're in the smelting pot right now. Look at somebody and say, you're in the smelting pot. Not the smelly pot. You're being refined by the fire right now. This refining is good for you. Come on, y'all. This refining is good for you because it exposes and reveals your faith. It purifies your faith. Our faith needs to be purified. It needs to be strengthened. You think you're going through a trial now. There's other things coming. I'm going to be real encouraging right now. You think you're going through it now. It's going to get worse. Jesus said, I'm telling you, you're going to have troubles of many kind, but do not fear, for I am with you. And I'm really trying to be encouraging about this, because listen, I think if we'll understand that we have to go through a process, there's processes that we go through to get to the reward, and if we can embrace the process, we'll see that the reward is in the process. It's right here, right now. It's every moment that we embrace this, and Jesus is right here with us. He's with you right now. I know you're struggling, but he's with you. I know you're hurting right now, but he's with you. I know you're in the middle of the fire, but he's with you. And he's purifying you. And he's bringing your faith to the surface. And it's growing and it's building inside of you because something's coming your way. You've been called to greater things. You've been called to do the work of the Lord. You've been called to step into this kingdom realm and make a change for the glory of God. And it's because of this process that you're going to be ready when the time comes. So you have to embrace the process. The process is good for you. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3, and I'll end with this, says this. It says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, to the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now listen to the promise. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Your Savior. You see what God's promising us here? And in the coming weeks, I'm going to give you more scriptures like this. I'm going to show you that God is promising us, if we'll embrace the process, while we're going through that process, he will be with us all the way. I think we would do people a service. I think we would do well if we would tell people when they cross over to the kingdom of God from that altar of the cross, when they surrender their lives to God and they cross over, I think it would be good at that time. You know, maybe they're down here at the altar and they're just giving their hearts to the Lord in the coming days. I think it would be good for us to just look at them in the eyes and say, it's going to be difficult. You're going to go through fire. You're going to be persecuted. It's going to be hard. There's a process coming that you're going to question. And the enemy is going to try to bring fear to you. And he's going to try to bring doubt to you and say that you made a mistake, you went the wrong direction. But I'm telling you, I'm promising you that there's a process here that's coming that you're going to go through. And it might be difficult, but Jesus is going to be with you all the way. Just like Leah said in that message this morning, just like she was saying, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And if you'll just embrace that through the process and be yoked up with Jesus. I love what you said. You know, it's like our feet are dangling. We can't even touch the ground. We're like, where are we going, Jesus? This is pretty cool. I'm enjoying this. If we'll just look at it that way, if we'll just see it through the eyes of Christ, it's what he wants. He keeps telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't keep thinking the way you've always been thinking. Your mind has to change. Your thinking has to change. Before the cross, we were trained that when we're going through difficulties, get us through it as quick as possible. Come on. As quick as possible. We were trained. We were conditioned by this world to just feel good all the time. Right? Our emotions should always be on this high. We should always just feel good. We should all just always be flying high. If we go through a valley, just get through it as quick as possible. Whatever you have to do to get through it so you can get to the other side of the reward. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God promises us that when we go through these trials, when we go through the processes of life, to embrace them and enjoy them and live in the moment and see what God is teaching us. Imagine if Elijah had just said, forget about it. Think about this. That's what Jonah tried to do. Right? Jonah just tried to say, forget about it. The Lord said, go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, oh, I know those people are crazy. I'm not going to Port Huron. I mean, Nineveh. Told you, we just need to sit down sometime. See, if we look at it that way, like, man, this is a struggle. I don't want to go do that. That's what Jonah said. I don't want to go do that. Get somebody else, Lord. Send somebody else. He got on a ship, and you know what the Lord did? He's like, I'm saying go to Nineveh. You need to go to Nineveh. Nineveh. I'm about to throw you off this boat. Go to Nineveh, boy. Seriously. So I was like, nope. Hear me out. And then we spend some time in the belly of a fish. And we thought we had it rough before. Guys, Jesus said this. He said, if you as earthly fathers, earthly parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you? Amen. He's a good father. And any good father wants their children to prosper, wants to give them good gifts. But any good father, they're going to allow their children to go through some things to learn the lesson they need to learn. Oh, come on. I start talking this way, you're all like, oh, I don't know if I should amen that or not. He's a good father, and everything's good all the time, and everything's rosy and nothing. We don't have to go through anything, and we just fly high above everything else. Come on, y'all. We are flying high, but we need to learn how to fly high through the process. Right? When the world sees you flying high through the process, they're going to look at you and go, something is different about you. Something is wrong with you. I need what you got. I don't know how you're doing this. I know what you're going through. And you just seem to just be smiling all the time. You got this joy inside of you. How are you doing this? Right? You guys know I've been very transparent about what I've been going through physically the last couple of years. And I've had people tell me over and over again, man, it just doesn't show. It just doesn't show. Like it's, and it's not that I'm not going through the process. I am. Trust me. Sometimes, and I'm not saying I've been perfect through this process this last couple of years. There have been times I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm getting on a boat. You know what I'm saying? And every time I just hear the Lord say, just trust me. Just trust me. I have you. Yeah. I've got you. Just trust me. And so it's a blessing to me to hear people say, it doesn't show. Man, I can't tell you've been struggling with some sickness the last couple of years. You don't show it at all. And I don't think I've been doing a real good job of hiding it. But that is, I'm just saying as a testimony, like again, I haven't done it all right, but I'm just saying I've learned one thing, and I've learned to embrace the process. Trust the Lord in the midst of the fire. And that's what they see. That's what these people see. They just see me trusting him, and he just shines through. My faith is coming to the surface, is being purified like gold. But as the Word of God said, it's so much more precious than mere gold. So are you going to let the people around you see the process that you're going through as you're being purified like gold? Are you going to embrace the process? Are you going to grab hold of this with both hands and say, I'm here, and I'm here to stay? I'm going to go through this no matter what it is. Father, I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to trust you the whole way. You can do that, and you can enjoy the process and reap the reward in the process, or you can do what we've been doing, a lot of us, for a long time, and that's complaining and griping and moaning and wailing until we get through it. Which one do you think looks better to the world? Which one do you think is more attractive? I say the former. Amen?